Well, God bless everyone. Tonight's topic is going to be the goodness of God. And I've been looking at this for a while, off and on, and I really am just amazed at how much is in the Word of God about the goodness of God. And why do we need to really understand and really focus on the goodness of God every single day? And I think if you go to Psalms 27, verse 13, David says it quite wonderfully. He says in verse 13, I would have lost heart. And I just really stopped right there when I first read this, because I think people do lose heart. This world is not getting any better. Our lights are shining brighter because the world is filling up with more darkness. And God is greater than all that. But as David said, I would have lost heart. The pressure that was on his life at that point was very big. Unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What a great understanding that it was on David's heart. And of course, we know God put it there. He would have been lost unless he had believed that he would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I think that's a great reason for us to focus, is we have a event that's going to happen anytime. Could be tonight or tomorrow, next day, I don't know. But there are days, if I did not know that I did not know that God was going to send back Christ to get us new heaven and new earth after that, I think I could lose sight of some of the greatness that I would miss because I just would get so freaked out. But I don't. So we're going to go through the Bible here. I don't know if we'll hit all these verses, but I tell you what, I've looked up a lot of them, and they're so wonderful. Let's look at Genesis. We're going to start at the beginning. Genesis chapter 1. This is why we need to focus on the goodness of God, these verses. Chapter 1, verse 10. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. In the very beginning, God's goodness was a part of his heart. In Genesis 1, verse 31, then God saw everything he had made, and indeed it was very good. So in the evening and the morning were the sixth day. You read from Genesis 1:10 to Genesis 1:31, you will see the heart of God's desire to take care of us in the best circumstances. Even before he created us, he created all the things we would need. Adam and Eve needed nothing in that garden. Go to Exodus 33, verse 19. This is God talking again. Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. He is reassuring his people what he is capable and able and willing to do for them. When we think about that in our own lives, when we hit a brick wall maybe, or we have a little stub toe even. I mean, stop and think about the goodness of God. Don't think about, okay, I should have done this, I should have done that. No, what we should do is continue to look at the goodness of God no matter what circumstance we're in. God is so good to us. Look at Exodus chapter 34. Verse 6, And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. Again, he speaks to his man right there. Look at the goodness of God. He proclaimed what he was. He proclaimed his love. He's done that throughout his whole the whole word. Look at 1 Chronicles, verse 16. I'm sorry, 1 Chronicles, verse 34. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 34. Sorry, guys. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." See, this is what we need to focus on in our lives. We need to focus on the compassion, the love, the goodness of God to each and every one of us. God has always been there for his people. Sometimes we don't listen. Sometimes we don't hear. But God is always there with the answer. Look at Psalms 23:6. I mean, this is throughout the word. That's why I wanted to start there and kind of read some verses here. Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness, what? Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Guys, what a great, beautiful verse for God's people to see. Look at Psalm 31:19. The goodness of God gives us strength. It gives us the ability to see beyond whatever the attack is or whatever the circumstances are that sometimes happen, not because of us, but because of the things around us. But when we can stop in that moment when we're challenged and remember, God is good all the time. His goodness started in his creation. And he will never, ever leave us without goodness in our lives. And we have to trust him and know that no matter what the circumstances look like. He's the truth. His word is the truth. And when you get kind of beaten down or scared or, I don't know, angry or whatever the situation the adversary tries to put us in, to get us to focus on circumstances and situations and people rather than on God's goodness. It would be a good time when you're being attacked to just sit down and look at some of these verses. Look at Psalms 31:19. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear or reverence you, is the proper one, which you have prepared for those who trust in you. In the presence of the Son of Man, don't trust in the circumstances. Don't trust in what you think the answer is. Check out God's word, the goodness of what he has to say, the way he says to attack it, the way he says to deal with it. That's trusting him. And that's one of the things he wants us to do. He wants us to trust him. Because if we don't, you know, the goodness of God can get buried real quick with the tricks of the adversary. And we've all been there. But you know what? We all go back to the Word of God. We finally, at points in times, wake up and go, oh, wow, I just need to get my head in the Word. I don't have an answer. But God's goodness will always be there for us to cling to. Look at Psalm 33, verse 5. He, God, loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Nobody gets missed. If you are a part of God's family, no matter what generation it is, was, will be, his goodness, his love, his mercy. Oh my gosh, just think about that, the mercy of God. It It's just amazing, the goodness of God. It goes through all generations. None of us gets left out if we have the heart and the mind to look at the things of God, to be His child, and to walk with Him. That's just amazing. We're going to go to the Gospels now. Go to John 3:16. Because we can't really think about the goodness of God without thinking about this verse. For God so loved the world that He gave. We didn't have to buy it. We didn't have to prove it. He gave. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, if you can't see the goodness in that, then you better read the goodness verses again, because this is amazing. For the love of God, and that is how we see His love. That is how we can recognize the power of God in our life and the desire of God to be there, to help us in situations, to give us good directions, is because He gave His only Son. That is the greatest act of love in this world. There's nothing greater than that. And yet it's all wrapped up in God's love and God's compassion and God's grace and God's mercy in our lives. Why should we look at the goodness of God? Look at all the reasons we've already read. But that is an amazing one. Look at Mark chapter 10, verse 18. This is Jesus Christ talking to His disciples. So Jesus said unto him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good, that is God, but God. No one but God is good." And this is Jesus Christ proclaiming that to God's people. And I mean, you know, he did some pretty magnificent things Himself to enrich our lives that we live now today, but He even knew that there is no one good but God. He even knew that. He said that. Look at Acts chapter 14. And this is just how God meets needs. Just a verse that indicates to that. He is always there. Verse Acts 14:17. "Nevertheless, He did not leave Himself without witness, in that He did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruit for season, fulfilling our hearts with food and gladness." This is what God did right from the beginning, and He still does it to this day. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Here's a big one. "But God demonstrates," God is demonstrating through His word, His own love. God's demonstrating His own love towards us, and in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't have to be good. We didn't have to be perfect for this to happen. Now, read that verse again. "But God demonstrates," this is an action that He took, that He wants us to see and recognize, His own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's why. To see the goodness of God, we see it through the love of God, through the heart of God, through the things that He knew would be the best things for us to be able to look at and to have in our lives. I mean, it is an amazing thing, God's goodness. You know, I know lots of times we say God is good all the time, and that's a great statement. But I tell you, after reading, there are more verses than I'm going on tonight, but after reading these verses about God's goodness, it really covers anything that the adversary can throw at us, anything. His goodness is always going to be there. I mean, you think about David, and when we started with that one, I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Look at all the mistakes David made. And yet the goodness of God was right there with him, picking him up, brushing him off. And he knew that. In his heart, he knew he would be nothing without the goodness of God. And I tell you, it's really comforting to go through these verses and to see the things that God has provided for us under this word goodness. It covers a heck of a lot of things that I couldn't have thought of, but now I do. Let's look at Romans 11:22. God tells us, therefore, consider, okay, let's think about it, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell. Severity, wasn't it? Word right, severity?
Mm-hmm.
Severity, but towards you. Goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. It's important for us to recognize God's goodness and the importance of God's goodness. Because without that being in our heart, it's very easy for the adversary to pull us away from our trust and confidence in God. I really think God had these scriptures, and they start in the Old Testament and go many, many more than I'm reading tonight. He wants to remind us of his goodness. He wants us to remember to focus on him and not to be deceived by the feelings, emotions, and situations the adversary can put up. He says in Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. God wants it to prove. He wants us to prove it to ourselves, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He knows how to set up our hearts and our thoughts to line up with him so we can be victorious in all these situations. And so much of what God has us do, asks us to do, needs us to do, ends in the result of his love and goodness towards us. Romans 15:14. Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to abolish one another.
Admonish.
I don't know why I have such a hard time with that word, but it's there, so I was going to try to read it. He wants us to build each other up. That's part of the goodness of our heart. When we, as God's people, begin to understand the greatness of his goodness, we can begin to understand, because his spirit is within us, we have the capability to love that way. We have the capabilities to go and minister to one another and try to help each other in situations where there's a need. And God put that in us. His goodness is a part of who we are. It's what allows us to love unconditionally. Philippians 4:19. I thought this was really a goodness of God here. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He supplies all of our needs. Is it a need in our lives to be able to have a great heart towards each other, to be able to share the goodness of God's love with one another? Absolutely. But we could not do that if it wasn't God and Christ in us. We wouldn't have the capability. But God has always had that capability. And from the very beginning, he did everything he could to set mankind up to do nothing but good deeds. And we know what happened, but he didn't deserve this, even though that happened. even though the garden thing went the wrong way, God still, over these centuries and years, have poured out the goodness of his love for us, to us. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. We never have to wonder, is God still there? Is God still able? Is God still willing to help me? Is God really as good as he says he is? Because I've been pretty screwed up and I really need forgiveness. Or whatever the issue in your heart you think you need to be forgiven for, or you need to forgive someone else for. God is right there, and he's always been right there. And he's always had a plan for mankind to live in peace, and all our needs are met, and love and joy. And you know what? It's still part of his plan. His goodness will not stop, even at the return. If we read what happens after the return, we'll see his goodness does not stop with the return. This is a loving, compassionate, wonderful, tender, heartwarming God that we serve. He is our Father, and he loves us. 1 John 1:5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness. None, not an ounce, not a fourth of an ounce, nothing, no darkness. And there is no darkness at all. So don't allow the darkness of this world or the adversary's plots or setups, or even when we get tricked, don't let that make you think that God's not there anymore, because he is. And what we need to do is get our focus back on him and the goodness and the love and the unconditional love, the everlasting love, a love that cannot be put out, is ours to walk right back into no matter what mistakes we have made. And knowing this is such a great way to help build each other up. If we can keep this in our hearts, then what God can give us to share with others when they're in need, maybe that very person who comes back and ministers to me at a later time. I mean, God has this set up right. And in the center of it is his love and his goodness and his compassion and his forgiveness. And the life of his son has been poured out to all of us. So let's take advantage of it and not get tricked into thinking we're not good enough, or we were too bad in that situation, because none of that counts. What counts is God's word, and that's what we have to cling to get our lives to be at the point where we can minister to others. So God bless.
I've been held in your hand from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. Oh, I will see of the goodness of God. God, I love your voice. darkest night, you were close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God.
Beautiful song. And tonight I'd like you guys to do me a favor, or just something to bless your own heart to. I want you to go to Psalms 27 and read verses 13 and 14 before you go to bed tonight. Okay? Love you guys. God bless.